Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring Joe Shortridge and Jen Shortridge.
Hello!
What's going on, Joey?
Oh, man, what an awesome week.
It has been. It has. Well, tell us about last week.
Yeah, well, a lot of our listeners noticed we were at the Collingwood Arts Center. It was awesome. And still, people are talking about it. I mean, I'm getting emails and all that. It was so much fun.
Yep, Toledo's first paranormal conference that we ever had. And it was really, really great. Everybody was great. Thanks again, everybody, for coming out and supporting us and supporting all the people that were there, all our vendors and groups and people at the Collingwood Arts Center. Very gracious to have us there.
Yeah. I mean, I usually when I used to do events with my photography, it took all day, but it felt like it took all day. The time just flew by.
It went so fast.
You know, and I think we talked about that last week when we were actually at the show. But like I said, since last week, I mean, people are still posting photos from the event. And
it made a huge impact on people that people took the time to care about what they care about and come out and learn and meet new people and network and ghost hunt at a actual haunted place.
And the hauntings went on all day, too.
Yeah, it wasn't just at night. It was during the day. As soon as we got there, I walked out on the stage and you could just feel the presence.
And then after we packed up and everything, we walked around with a local celebrity and he had his first encounter with a ghost. That was so funny.
Very cool.
He jumped about.
Tell him who it was.
Do we want to mention Grizz's name?
I think we should.
All right. It's Grizz from 94.5 WXKR. We saw him. We're like, hey, did you see the rest of the building? He's like, no. And so we walked around and
we took him down to this spot that's supposed to be a really good hot spot for paranormal activity.
Back in the day, which I think it was a Tuesday, when the ground was frozen and somebody died at, what was it called? It was
a convent.
Convent, was it? Okay.
A nunnery.
No, it was a nunnery, yeah. Back at the nunnery, they couldn't really do anything with the bodies.
The ground was frozen, wouldn't be able to bury them, so they would store them for
they had a closet
for spring
planting.
Oh, that's terrible. Don't say that.
But that's basically what it is.
Yeah,
you know, and the room, how would you say this, about 6 foot by 8 foot or so, just a small
room alcove and in the basement.
That is, if you think about it though, that's really bizarre that they would just store bodies somewhere. But
that was common. That's all they could do. Well, if you ever noticed in some cemeteries, they have these little like outcrop buildings built into the side of a hill.
And
that's where they would keep the bodies until spring and then they would bury them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was thinking of, there's a lot of the cemeteries I go to, they have a building where the families would bring the bodies. You know, a receiving building or whatever. Yeah, you think about it, because back then, you know, I mean, our winters are long.
And here in Ohio, it gets cold. And it's
I'm sure it's all over.
For a long time.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like that all over the country. But yeah.
And having no modern equipment
to
dig.
They just had shovels and that. So anyways.
Their hands.
We took Grizz into this room.
Their hands.
But we took Grizz into this room, and as we were walking to it, I always let him walk through the doors first because, you know, it was funny because he kept going, oh, man, I feel it. And then we got in the room and he did like a EVP type session.
Yeah, I had my digital recorder going and I haven't had a chance to analyze that yet, but I want to listen to it. We went in and I was recording and he was just asking some basic questions and of, you know, who was in there and who are you and are you still here? As he was asking questions, he would say, you know, we need a sign. Well, outside of the room, there's all kinds of stuff in the basement. There's tables and chairs and like pianos and organs and just
props for their plays that they put on and stuff.
Just a ton and ton of stuff. So as he was asking questions, we were getting knocks and bumps outside of the room.
Yeah, it sounded to me like one of the wooden chairs was moving.
Well, at one point he asked a question and it sounded like somebody sat in a wooden chair.
Yeah.
Sat down and it was loud. Once we got done with that, he said his thank yous and we were standing outside of the room, just maybe a foot outside the room, and we were just talking, and then we were listening to the playback on our digital recorder. Mm-hmm. And we're all standing there, we're really intense, and we're listening to it playback. And tell them what happens.
Well, Grizz was standing there, and...
So we're kind of in a triangle.
Yeah.
I'm in front of Grizz. Joe's kind of off to the side between the two of us.
It'd be Grizz right. Like stage right, it was Grizz right.
It was Grizz right.
And he had his back to the door going into that room.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing there, and we were listening to the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both, kind of like hunched over because the recorder's not that loud.
Right.
I mean, and all of a sudden, Grizz jumped.
Now you have to picture this, folks. He is ginormous. He's what, probably 6'6",
mm-hmm.
built like
pounds.
A big brick chicken house.
Like awesome. A Grizz.
Yeah, he's just awesome. And jumps on towards me. I thought he was going to tackle me.
I know. I was, and I got like a shock feeling, but I don't think it was a ghost. I think it was
just him reacting.
Grizz reacting. It was so funny.
Yeah, so he feels on the back of somebody smack him on the back of the head. Not like touched, like smacked.
You know, and I just thought of it.
What's that?
Why didn't we look at his neck?
It was so shocking. So he comes towards me. As he's coming towards me, the energy from whatever this was that hit him went right past me on my right side. It went all up my arm. My arm went tingly and cold, kind of into my shoulder and chest area, and then it just zoof, right past me. It was crazy.
Yeah, the whole thing lasted like a second, but Grizz jumped, and it was
he was just
and
flabbergasted.
He was happy as heck. He was like, that's so cool.
That's the coolest thing that ever happened. He could not get over that he actually experienced something like that.
And he's had a lot of activity, and we're going to get him on the show. We were talking to him. He's like, yes, I want to get on the show.
Yes. You're coming on the show, Grizz. I'm telling you right now.
So we're going to go to him wherever he's at, wherever he wants to meet, because we're portable. We're going to get him on the show. And I went downstairs when he was doing his presentation, and he's got some really interesting stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. And he talked about things that I haven't heard about in years.
Really? Like Toledo stories or just
stories? What happened to him?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're not going to say it now because I want him to say it, because if we say it, then it's almost like...
It's hearsay.
Yeah, it's hearsay. So we want to get it right from the Grizz's mouth. And folks, he's one of the best DJs that Toledo's ever had. And he's definitely got the voice for radio, so you'll love his voice.
Yes.
And he's very passionate about everything. He does.
I like that. I like people with high energy. And
yeah, he does the wrestling stuff. Remember last week we mentioned Macho Man Randy Savage?
Yes. Well, the ghost of Macho Man.
He does.
Has appeared in Florida.
Yeah, he does wrestling still as a manager, and he showed us his bruises and all that. And he's just a fun guy. But I also want...
Does that make him a mushroom if he's a fun guy?
Fungi! Grizz Fungi!
I'm going to take this act on the road.
I didn't get a chance to talk about this. I wanted to mention this place I went to, not last week, but the week at, or week before the Collingwood show. I was up in Traverse City,
Michigan.
Yeah, Traverse City, Michigan. And there's this place called The Village, Grand Traverse Commons. Okay. It's an insane asylum.
Ooh.
And it is huge. I mean, it is huge. It's probably... Well, the brochure here says something
Is it still an insane asylum?
No.
Or what used to be one?
It used to be one.
Oh.
And they turned it into like a community place where they have in the basement where the cells are. I'm sure there's cells all over, but all these little shops are in there selling trinkets and all that. They have parties and they have weddings and they have concerts. And I mean, the whole complex is huge. If you get a chance, folks, look it up online. And there's a lot of cool pictures online. It's the Grand Traverse Commons. It's called The Village. And they do tours and ghost hunts up there.
Oh, okay. So there is activity up there?
Yes. Mm. And they do there's few buildings that they haven't touched. So they still look like...
The original.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as you walk through the shops, there's pictures of what the original place looked like.
Oh,
and
neat.
It's so cool. I know the grounds is like 300 acres. I'm trying to think. I think they said there was like 3,000 patients there.
Wow. Do you have to pay to get in?
No.
You just go in.
Just walk into the shops, but they do weddings and everything there. They have like the guided tours.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how much they were, but it wasn't that expensive.
That's good. Because, some of this ghost hunting adventures can get pretty pricey.
Yeah.
especially this time of year, you know, it's getting closer to Halloween and, you know, you want to experience a lot of different things, but, you know, with your travel expenses and the cost to get in, you might not have to get a and second job.
Sometimes these places are charging people way too much just for the fact that, like, these haunted houses. I don't like haunted houses. Never have.
Yeah, like the setup ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't like people popping out at me. That, no. Anyway, so
yeah, we'll folks, check it out. We're going to go back up there. We're talking about going up for the Little Traverse Bay convention.
Paranormal convention? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll if we go up there, that. I'll definitely take you to this place. You'll be blown away. We didn't even know. My friend Dana goes up there all the time and stays in a house right around the corner from the place. She never knew it was there. Hmm. And it's just really cool. Just right. Walking around there was really neat. So what do you got on the agenda for today?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I'm really fascinated by this topic because it's one of those things that people really, really want to debunk is poltergeist activity.
Okay.
So just so everybody knows, and there may be some new people just sure, and I'm sure everybody's heard the word poltergeist, but mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to go over exactly what a poltergeist may be or okay. is. So the belief is that poltergeists are mischievous spirits. They're sometimes demonic. However, poltergeist phenomenon is far more than just being a mischievous spirit. They say it can take multiple shapes. Mm-hmm. They can be aggressive, or they could be malevolent.
Mellow. They could be mellow.
Mellow.
Like mellow, dude.
Yeah, so I gotta work on my my English because there's just some words.
Talk of your
don't
English.
People have like one or two words in their vocabulary they just could never pronounce. Yeah. It drives me crazy. Me. All right, so anyways,
the shoes soft
malevolent. Show. I said it. Okay, so let's focus here.
All right,
we're going down rabbit holes again.
Always,
because you know,
blah blah blah.
Okay, so poltergeists can be aggressive. They can be disruptive. We've seen videos on YouTube that can or cannot be explained. We really did some research on this, and I'm just fascinated mm-hmm. by it because if it is not somebody with a piece of fishing line pulling plates off of a table, this is crazy stuff. This is a lot. It takes a lot of energy, I would think, to move this kind of stuff.
Well, that's what they say. I mean, I don't know who they are, but
yeah, who are they?
Them people over there just. Like making a bang, like we heard last week at the Collingwood Art Center. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that just by making a thumping noise takes a lot of energy.
So what's the difference between a poltergeist and a ghost?
Well, they say that a poltergeist never took human form.
Okay, so
it's just energy that hasn't taken human form.
Okay.
And a ghost has.
And I got it.
Okay. Usually a ghost will not be able to move objects. I mean, like we've seen things move and all that in a ghost. But
ghost
this is,
appears.
Yeah.
You know, it just is there.
Yeah. That's another thing that it can appear, but a poltergeist you can't see.
Okay.
And also poltergeist can, I don't know if they say can, but they say that poltergeists are controlled by the people that they connect to.
Interesting.
Okay, do you know what I mean?
No.
I mean, because like the Enfield poltergeist, we talked about that girl that was possessed and everything. Okay. From what I understand, she controls the poltergeist, even though it seems like it's controlling her with her thoughts and all that.
So then you bring into another facet of that. So what's between demonic and poltergeist? So if we're going to have to find out, is a demon something that had human form at one time? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because
maybe somebody can shed some light on that.
Yeah.
For us.
But like I say, everything that I've researched says that a poltergeist never had human form.
Okay.
And a poltergeist is way more active than a ghost.
Right.
You know, because you see, like we
see,
the videos.
Ghosts, but you hear poltergeists, right?
Or the poltergeist will connect itself to a person more readily.
Hmm.
You know, like the videos we've seen about rooms getting destroyed or that. And, you know, you've heard about people going into the room and cleaning up, walking out of the room, hearing a banging noise and going right back in. And the chairs are on top of the tables and everything is like. Or stacked up really weird.
That would freak me out
to
no end.
I've heard of that in haunted homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a poltergeist because a ghost isn't that way. It doesn't a ghost will not go in and change everything around. A ghost will just be there and take a form or whatever.
All right. So I was doing some research and I noticed that a lot of the poltergeist activity is England, France, Germany.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
You know, I read somewhere that poltergeist means no noisy ghost.
Sort of like when we're trying to record in German. The fire trucks go by.
Yeah. I don't know if people can hear, but the fire trucks are going. We're broadcasting live with the window open because we need some fresh air.
We're in my house right now here at Studio 222, my photography studio, and I have a fire station down the street. So I get used to it, but I didn't think about it when we were recording.
That's all right. Yeah. It keeps it interesting. Oh, yeah. Background noise. It wasn't a poltergeist. It was just a fire truck.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, there's times when ghosts can move things, but it takes a lot of energy to move something. Mm-hmm. And that's why with the research I've done, they say that it's different than a ghost because it's pure energy that has never been a human form. So it has that ability to move things and heavy slam doors, all that kind of stuff.
Well, here's one thing I read. It's a quick story I'll talk about. Disturbing the Dead, it's called. So there were some workmen, and they were refurbishing a Victorian house, which once had been a home to a wealthy merchant and his family. And while they were clearing out the basement, they stopped and they heard a disembodied wailing noise through the darkness in the basement. And they got an icy chill and, like, spine-chilling sounds were coming out. And the workmen were frightened, of course. Yeah. And they ran towards the exit, trying to both get out at the same time. And then their boss was like, "You imagined it." And they're like, "It was probably the sound of the wind, nothing else." And then so the men refused to go back in the house. And he got some other people to carry on. And then for a moment, they thought they saw an elderly lady standing at the top of the staircase. But it was a broken staircase. And so she looked really frail and confused, and she would pierce her eyes into these guys, it said. And then she was walking over their equipment, and he spoke to her and he said, "Be careful, won't you?" And when he went to reach out towards her, she just disappeared.
Full body apparition.
Yeah. So that wasn't, a one-time thing. It continued on as they were, working to restore this house. And he heard some more voices as they were, I'm just kind of paraphrasing this here. And this was in 2002. So this is pretty recent,
been a lot of recent stuff.
And they say they. We keep talking about they. Who are they?
It's those people over there.
So just stuff that we've read and we've learned along the way that, anytime you have any kind of construction or changes to a structure, it seems to stir up because, they're spirits who are there or trapped there or want to be there, like it the way it is. Mm-hmm. They don't like change.
That there would not be considered a poltergeist. That's just a spirit in the house.
Right.
I remember last week we were talking to somebody that she said that she had spirits in her house, and every time they would change something, they had asked the spirits permission.
Yeah, and this story went on and on, and why they deemed it poltergeist, because then their tools started moving.
Okay, I see.
They would go across the floors by themselves. A heavy workbench was lifted and thrown some distance into the air, and they had strange smells attached to it. So poltergeist phenomenon is always usually, from all the research, accompanied by a pungent smell, like rotting cabbage or urine.
Well,
it's just scary. I don't ever smell it. I don't.
Yeah, that's kind of understandable because they also say that a lot of poltergeist activity, you'll hear crackling sounds and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about electrical storms and stuff like that, you hear the same crackling sounds, and that's all energy.
Yeah. So it turns out when they were doing the construction in this house and they got to the floor of the basement, they found a body, or remains of an elderly woman in there, and revealed that she had once lived in that house.
Okay.
And they couldn't tell or determine the cause of death. It said that there were other deaths in the house too at that time, or in the 60s, but they couldn't even tell when this woman was there from. But okay, if it's a Victorian house, so it's probably 1800s.
They found this woman. Did they find her under the floorboards or something?
Under the basement. Yeah.
Oh, I see. So she passed and somebody put her under the floorboards.
Yeah.
Well, it saves on burial costs.
Well, you know, it's a... Ugh. Groan.
Yeah.
Groan. So anyways, you know, so a lot of times just doing simple renovations will stir up some activity.
You hear that a lot. I mean, yeah. Our cousin, they were working in the attic and moved those floorboards and found that gun, and that's when all their paranormal stuff started.
Yes.
You know.
All right, what else do we have?
Well, you know, in my research sitting here, I've printed out some papers, and one of them says that, you know, a summary is a ghost. Ghosts are considered to be spirits of deceased human beings, like I said before, while poltergeist shows a presence by moving or influencing physical objects. Ghosts can just simply appear and disappear.
You always wonder, like, when you lose your keys to your shed.
Yeah, like I did today. I cannot find them anywhere. I'm telling
that
you.
That was a poltergeist?
No, I think that was just a pocket drop.
Pocket drop.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. I had an interesting thing happen one time. And it's happened more than once. I had the comforter of my bed pulled off. Not like it slid off. Like, you know, those don't slide off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they stick to the blanket. You would have to have some energy attached to that. But that's happened to me twice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Creepy.
Maybe it was your neighbor lady.
No, this was when I lived at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and then once at that house that I lived in the South End.
Well, that I could understand.
That was creepy because I had that dark entity come swooping at me one night after, something happened in the family. That was really, really odd. And that's the house that I lived in where I found my landlord dead. He was 94 years old. He was the sweetest old guy. And I still to this day think about him every once in a while. He used to bring me McDonald's. He was a widower for like 40 years. And sweet guy. And then one day I noticed his light on in the garage at night. And I ran over there and he was passed away. And I was like, oh, I had to call the fire department. It was really, really sad.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you see Poltergeist and, you know, the new movie Conjuring is coming out and all that. And I do believe that was the original was made by the Enfield case.
So it was. If anybody's familiar with Ed and Lorraine Warren, they're famous demonologists.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, their nephew is John Zaffis, who has all the haunted collections.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we saw him last year at a haunted mill. He spoke at the haunted mill in Dundee, Michigan. It's this old mill that's haunted. And they have a huge paranormal
That's coming convention up in November. I'm not sure the exact date.
Every year, and it's really worth going. There's so many speakers, and I know Amy Allen from The Dead Files is going to be there this year.
And last week when we were at the Collingwood Arts Center, we sat next to the group from there.
Yeah.
And that was, they were nice, great.
They were nice great people. Yeah. Very, very kind.
And we tried to get a booth, but they're sold out.
Sold out. Sold out. You got to get in quick. You know, it's like so many people are so interested in everything.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that a lot of poltergeist activity goes on in like England. You see that a lot.
Right. And well, it's such an old country, you know, we're only about 300 years old and they've been there for thousands of years.
I think they're more superstitious.
And they have castles, which someday we're going to go to.
Yeah.
We're going to haunted castles. If anybody wants to fund that, please just send me a check. But anyways, here's one from the United States, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a story of a very famous hotel in New York. It's called the Plaza Hotel. And over the years, they had this couple that went there for conventions or, you know, business meetings or whatever. So in autumn, they were in the room and they were opening a bottle of champagne and they noticed a dark vapor mass over by the fireplace.
Okay.
And they were thinking it was an optical illusion because it kept coming from like the glare of the sunlight and it was kind of a dark room and he kept like rubbing his eyes, but it was still there. So he called his wife over and she confirmed that she saw it too. So it kept happening. And they thought, okay, what's going on here? And we're in this prestigious hotel. You know, this shouldn't be happening here. And then it remained there for like 10 minutes and then it would just disappear like a puff of smoke, just like gone. So they didn't think any more about it. They went down to the restaurant for their evening meal and came back And the room was in complete disarray. The coffee table was broken. A large vase was thrown off the mantle. They had two paintings that had been perfectly straight, were crooked. Clothes from the dresser, the wardrobe, they call it, all over the floor. And there was no signs of forced entry. Within moments, there was these ladies knocking on the door. And they were clearly puzzled that, you know, the staff wasn't doing this. And, you know, what's going on? Somebody had come up to check and see what the noise was. So the lady went through all her stuff, like her credit cards weren't missing. Her handbag was still there. Cash was still there. Her jewelry. And they were like, this has got to be something paranormal. So they said, okay, well, nobody's ever broken into the rooms here, you know, or whatever. And they went through. No sooner they hit the pillow to go to sleep and all the activity started again. The noises, the coffee table. And like by 4 o'clock, they said, you know, we're done. We've got to get some sleep. So in the morning, they called security and said, you know, like, has anything been going on? They're like, no. So they said, okay, well, let's talk to the manager of the hotel.
Yeah.
So it's stating here that there were various complaints over the years about this unusual phenomenon in that particular room, furniture moving, loud bangs. And he said that it was linked to a suicide that had happened many years ago. So this couple said, okay, we're not going to stay in this suite again. But it's interesting because she said it was frightening. And in fact, they saw like a ball of energy in the room.
Like an orb.
Yeah. So it was interesting. And okay, so it's interesting because in the research here, it says that in fact, it was a clone ball. And a clone ball is an embryonic stage of a poltergeist.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
I haven't either.
But, you know, that reminds me of a couple of things. There was the one story where you've seen security video of a hotel where the people were hearing crying and voices coming out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
So they called the cops. And when the cops came, they opened the room. There was nobody in there.
Yeah.
You know, and we go to a lot of these places that are haunted and a lot of them are hotels. And it always seems to be certain rooms. And it's
there had to have been something tragic.
It's always like suicide or something that happens or murder or something in that room.
You know what my fear is when you go to a hotel? Like there's a dead hooker under your mattress.
Yes. I've seen
people joke about that, but I think it's really happened at some point or another. So I always check under the bed and I always check in the Bible because normally, like if people stay in hotels, they hide their money in the Bible. I've heard that somewhere. So I always flum through the Bible. I'm like, hey, maybe there's a $100 bill in there or something.
Yeah. Religion is good.
You know, we talked about Grizz earlier. Do you remember when we were down there near that room and I saw a ball of blue light came out of that room? It made like a 45 degree angle turn out of the room. I saw that with my eyes, but I didn't capture it on.
Well, I wish
have a camera.
Okay, you talk about that ball that came out that you saw coming out of the room. I noticed, and I know you wanted to talk about these guys, the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society.
Yes.
I was on their Facebook page and looking at the pictures from their hunt last week after the Collingwood show. And in one of their photos, they have a picture of that area where you were just talking about.
Okay.
And against the back wall is a big white orb.
That's interesting that the orb is white because the one I saw was like a light blue.
Okay. And copied the picture and put it in Facebook, in Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I zoomed in and it's a solid orb. It's not like a dust orb that, because, you know, dust orbs are kind of like see-through because it's basically just something out of focus.
Right. And this one has mass to it.
Yeah, it looked like it had mass.
Yeah, so check it out. It's on their page, the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society. I just want to give a shout out to Harold St. John and his group. They were so lovely and accommodating and nice, and they just great bunch of people. And please take us ghost hunting with you.
We got to set something up because I got to do more ghost hunts.
Yeah. So, you know, if anybody out there is having any issues or you need somebody to come and investigate, just get a hold of them through their Facebook page. They also go under TOGHS, Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society. And they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, these aren't like brand new people who just started up. They are seasoned investigators. They've been all over Toledo, Oliver House. I think they did something at Mancy's restaurant, which is one of the oldest steakhouses in Toledo. Yeah. Well, it is the oldest steakhouse in Toledo, but it's one of the top steakhouses in America. And if you ever get to go there, it's delicious.
I've never been
and
there.
And haunted. I went there one time.
You know, I know they're Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society, but I know that they do events all over.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They're really
great people.
Very knowledgeable about the whole paranormal. Mm-hmm. So shout out to you guys.
And while we're doing shout outs, there's a guy that I listened to his podcast, mm-hmm. Photo Biz Exposed podcast. Mm-hmm. He does wedding and portrait photography podcast. Awesome guy. I wanted to thank him because he years ago told me mm-hmm. that I should get into podcasting.
Oh, that's yeah. awesome.
And his name is Andrew Helmich. He owns Impact Images. And
where is he from?
Australia.
Oh, Andrew, be my boyfriend.
He's down under us.
I love a good accent.
That didn't come out right. He's down under us.
Oh, my word. Andrew, come visit us in Toledo, Ohio.
No, I want to go see him.
Middle of nowhere.
Now that it's going into winter here, it's going into summer
yes.
there.
Yes.
But yeah, check out his stuff if you're a photographer. He's if you go on Facebook, it's Impact Images. But if you go on iTunes, it's Photo Biz Exposed podcast. Awesome guy. His podcast is just tons of information. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to copy it for I'm copying your format so we can steal it and be as good as you.
We'll get there one day.
Yeah.
Bear with us, yeah. folks. We're
getting better.
Every time.
We're getting better.
Yes.
We're going to make a calendar up so we know what our shows are going
to
be about.
Yeah, we'll try to post that on our website.
We can post, but yeah. when we do events and that, we're going to throw those in.
Yeah, definitely. We'll let you guys know in advance where we're going to be. Come out, visit us, stop by our booth. If you got a good ghost story that we want to share, or any other kind of paranormal experience, maybe Bigfoot captured you and married you and you yeah. have little Bigfoot babies. You can tell us all about it.
And how the Bigfoot babies keep you up all night.
Maybe if you have a vampire girlfriend or a werewolf boyfriend, or you played a werewolf in a movie and just want to come in and talk to us.
You know, last week at the Collingwood Arts Center, a lot of people told us their stories, and a lot of them didn't want to get on the air and
which
tell us.
Which is fine.
Yeah, but everybody wants to tell their stories, and we're here to listen.
We are. We are here for you. But if you want to tell it on the air, that's even better.
Yeah. Let us know. We'll meet you somewhere. Even if, like, I want to do, it's probably getting too cold now, but I would love to go to one of the battlefields.
Yeah.
And just set up there and
that's all we need.
That's what I said. We're portable, folks. So if you want to meet us at
a haunted location.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's have some fun.
Awesome. One place I really want to go, and we have to put this on our calendar, and if anybody's been there and experienced it, we have to go to Gettysburg. We have
yes,
to.
Yes, I want to go to
we
Gettysburg.
Have to. Absolutely. A must. Before it snows, or maybe next spring.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get to Gettysburg. I know I keep saying that, and I looked it up online to see how far it is, and it's a long drive, but hey, if we could do a weekend, that'd be awesome.
We're weekend warriors for the paranormal yeah. podcasting.
Yeah. So anything else you want to talk about the poltergeist or anything? I mean, I think we covered a lot.
There's so many stories out here. And if you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up some videos. And it's so hard because you just don't know if it's real or fake. I mean, the videos are getting better and better yeah. on people faking stuff. So it's, you know, it's open to interpretation, but I watch them, I get scared. So I don't watch them alone anymore. I don't go in my office in the basement and watch them. I stay upstairs and get scared.
And both of us are in like the entertainment industry. So, I mean, you've written screenplays and you've hung out with stuntmen and all that and been on sets and stuff. And I've done a lot of photography in that. So I know that it's easy to make these videos right. look real. And, you know, it's just tough right. because, like you said last week, if you're not there, you can't.
Right.
You're always
you can't
a skeptic
fake a personal
you
experience. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you could if you're a really good actor. And I know some really good
magician.
Actors. But that's a whole other story.
I don't want to know about that. But anyways. Like I said, you know, you go online and you see these videos and the videos look awesome. And, you know, being the skeptic that I am because I try to.
Well, it's strange because when you see it, it's always like a stationary camera mm-hmm. and then the stuff is moving.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see somebody walking around with the camera and it's happening. You know, it's just so I can see the floor. You know, has somebody got some fishing line or a yeah. coat hanger
it's
shutting the door? You know.
Because even that could be set up.
Sure.
You know, so who knows, folks. But check the stuff out online. You know, let us know what you think.
Yeah, leave us a good poltergeist story mm-hmm. that you've experienced on our Facebook page, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
If you want to call us, we'll get a hold of you. Leave us your number. Private message us.
Yeah, private message us first, and we'll get a hold of you. But yeah, I mean, get on YouTube and check out the videos and let us know what you think. You know, get on our Facebook page. Just leave us messages. We've said this 1,000 times over and over and over.
Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap this up. Let's wrap it up. Wrap it up.
All right. Well, folks, I think that's about it for this week. We've gone way over what we wanted to talk about, and we did not go down too many rabbit holes this week, so we're getting better.
Just a couple.
Yeah. So anyways, check us out on Facebook, like we said 1,000 times. Another thing too, please get on there and leave us a rating and review on wherever you listen to our podcast from.
Yes, please.
It means a lot to us.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.